This podcast has been generously sponsored by Barbara Jaffe in honour of her favourite cousins, Phil and Shira Shaw. For more sponsorship opportunities, contact jamie@pardes.org.
Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ha'azinu. This week is also a good time to think about coming to Jerusalem and studying at Pardes during the Executive Learning Seminar at the end of December. You will have a fantastic time. It's something you owe yourself. You have other options for studying at Pardes. If you want, you can study for a semester, a year, more than a year. But the place to start, many times, especially if you're not ready for a full-time course of study, you're in your 30s, 40s, a little older, a little younger, is the executive seminar. Other options are also available. For instance, there are father-daughter study programs and mother-son and all the other combinations, things to think about, and you can contact the Pardes office for full details. But the first thing, please think about coming to the executive seminar. Thank you. This week, Ha'azinu with Rabbi Mike Feuer. Rabbi Feuer is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Mike Feuer.
No. Every year, right around Rosh Chodesh Elul, I have the exact same thought. As we're entering into this season of introspection, analysis, and judgment, I always find myself thinking, this is all we have to get through in order to get to Sukkot. Now, I generally push it aside, try to suppress it, be in the process, take it for what it's worth, but since now we're on the threshold, it's worth it to consider how all the work that we've been doing for the last month and a half is going to play out. And if you've taken the opportunity, and it's a tremendous invitation, and never too late, for cheshbon nefesh, for that self-awareness, that self-analysis, for choosing your storyline, and insisting that you are authoring the book of life with your days, well, then it's likely you've gained a lot of wisdom about yourself, and perhaps even opened new spaces of desire and aspiration within. And yet I always find that the work of Elul and the Omim Narayim, the days of awe, can be incredibly draining. Sometimes, facing the inner realities with which we struggle all year long, and perhaps year after year after year, can cause me to harden myself, be it that I'm putting on a strong front for battle, or that I've hardened my heart in the face of difficult realities that my reflections have unearthed that seem to be intractable. So sometimes I find that there can be a strange tension in this time after Yom Kippur, a sort of split-screen experience, if you will, where within the spaces are opening deep cracks which long to be filled inside me, these open spaces of aspiration. And yet, on the outside, a hard outer crust still remains. Sometimes, in fact, it's gotten even stronger. Whether it's skepticism, a lack of belief in myself, or, you know, simply an honest awareness of how difficult it's actually going to be to change. And that's why, when we look at the cycle of this season, that we're not quite finished. There's one more step in the process that remains. Because, of course, there is an element of text that ties this entire time together, which began way back there at Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first of Elul, and is going on right through the end of Sukkot. And that's this beautiful and wonderful chapter of Psalm, Psalm 27, Le-David, that we've been saying morning and night. And there, amongst the many powerful messages, we can actually see what it is we're meant to be aiming at in life. Achat shalti me'et Adonai, otah v'kesh, right? There's only one thing I've asked from God, and that's what I'm looking for. Shifti b'veit Hashem kol yemei chayai, that I should sit in the house of God all the days of my life. And then what will God's response be? Ki yitzpeneni b'suko v'yom ra'ah, that He has hidden me within His shelter. He will hide me within His shelter in an evil day, in His sukkah. So this one more step in the process remains is to sit in our sukkah, but we don't just sit in the sukkah on Sukkot. we also pray for rain. Because, in a sense, we're just like the ground in this season all summer long. It's been hot and dry. Most of the time, we avoid the issues that can both challenge us and bring us life. But lately, the ground has felt a little dew. Perhaps even a sprinkling of rain. Enough to quicken the life within it and to open up deep fissures that are ready to soak up all they can receive. But if those first rains don't soak the ground, don't break through the crust which covers over those deep places, then they may never be watered, and they'll remain as deep cracks within. Right? Our personal situation is the same, and amazingly parallels the journey of Israel at this point in the Torah, because we're at Parshat Haazinu. We're just about at the end. Moshe said it all already, but God makes a statement to Moshe, which really poses a deep question. He says, listen, when you're gone, these people are going to go astray. I know, in your lifetime, they've been difficult. Can you imagine what it's going to be like afterwards? And really, the question that God is posing there is, will it sink in? Will everything that you said, Moshe, everything that we've done, all the journeys that these people have undergone, all their self-reflection, the laws, the stories, the knowledge, will they let it sink in? And that's why Moshe, at the behest of God, sings us his song. And it's the first words of Moshe's song that I'd like to focus on, because I believe they can embody for us and perhaps tie together all of the work we've been doing for the last month and a half and allow us to access it as we sit together in our Sukkot. Yarov kamata likhi, tizal katal imrati, chi siirim alei deshe, v'chi revivim alei esev. Let my lesson will, arof, like rain, we'll translate that in a minute, and my word will flow like dew, like storm winds on vegetation, and like raindrops on grass. Why is it that Moshe will start out a poem, which both is a poem of rebuke, a poem of hope, is a vision of an unfolding of the future? Why with the image of rain? And particularly, what does this word Ya'arof mean that it begins with? So let's start with Rashi. Rashi says, Zohi ha'idut she'te'idu. Right? Moshe has called heavens and earth to witness, and they say, this is the testimony which you should give. Sha'ani omer bifneichem, that I say before you, Torah netati li'Yisrael, Shehi Chaim Leolam. I've given Torah to Israel, and it's life for the world. Kamataza Shehu Chaim Leolam. Right? Just like this rain, which is life to the world. Chasher Yarchu Hashemayim Tal V'Matar. Just as the heavens drip. He, Rashi, understands Yarchu as to drip rain and dew. Because we see from this that, you know, he's comparing Torah to life. But it's a bit tricky, because rain isn't actually life itself. He says, you know, it isn't life itself, right? That's the grass, the trees, you and me, we're life. Rain is what allows potential to be actualized. It's what causes the life within to sprout and spring up. And sitting in our sukkah in the coming week is a time to let the preceding weeks of introspection, analysis, judgment, all the challenges and difficulties, to let it soak in. And in order to do this, we have to shift our inner gaze from what was to what will be. What are the sprouts that we feel that all of the work we've done have begun to water? And as the heavens drip, as we begin to feel the condensation of all the work we've done in the last month and a half bring life to us, the sukkah is the safe space in which to imagine how all of our work will bring a new life in the coming year. But there's another way to read Yarof Kamatang, right? Rashi says it means to drip like rain. But the Rashbam says, Im tikablu divrei tochachti, yo'ilu lechem kamatang, right? Yarof means, and that if he says, if you receive the words of my rebuke, then they will benefit you just like rain. It's a little bit obscure how he's translating Yarov. So if you look further, actually, over in Hosea, in the prophet there, the Radak will tell Yarov means harisa ushvira. Yehovah is the power to break, right? This is why the Torah has a commandment which is called Egel Arufa, the broken-necked heifer, right? I'm getting to the details of it, but meaning the word Yaruf means to break or to shatter. And I believe what the Rashbam is saying is that if we allow all the observations we've made about ourselves, all the judgments, the analysis, everything we've seen over the last month and a half to really break us, then the wisdom can get in. Because there is a final breaking which remains. A cracking of the crust which I so often place over the deep questions in my life. And only that is going to allow the rains of health, life, Torah, growth to soak into those deep places that I felt out in the last month rather than just running off the surface. And in this sense, the sukkah is an embrace. Right, the walls of the sukkah, so beautifully we say halakhically that there are, have to be two complete walls and a third which is just a tefach. And I want you to just picture, the first wall is the breadth of your chest. The second wall is your arms stretched out in front of you. And that third hand's breadth, if you curl your hand forward, makes an embrace. And we're meant to feel the walls as God's loving arms holding us while we let his words crack the surface of our defenses. If you need to shed a tear about what was, and also laugh and joy about what will be, there's no better place than the sukkah. You know, there's one more piece to this pasuk that's worth looking at, is also this question of what does it mean, kisirim ale desha? Right? This is a pasuk which is talking about the things which give life. Why would the storm winds give life to vegetation? And here Rashi says a beautiful thing. He says, first of all, that it's ruach sa'ara. He's saying that the sin there is the same as a samech. He says, "Ma haruchot alalu machzikim et ha'esavim u'megadlin otam." He says, just as these winds strengthen the grasses and cause them to grow, "Af divrei Torah machzikim et lomdehem u'megadlin otam." So too, the words of Torah strengthen those that learn them and cause them to grow. Meaning, sometimes we think that in order to grow, things have to be quiet, peaceful, we can't be pushed around, we need our time, and in fact, we've taken that time, hopefully, over the last month and a half, to really make space for thought, analysis, judgment. However, what Rashi is pointing out to us is that it's the things that challenge us which make us strong. You know, there are many plants that if you put them in a greenhouse to grow, and there's no wind circulating in them, they won't grow at all. They'll just simply droop over and die. They need to be pushed on in order to grow up straight. It is the challenges in our life that force us to develop the inner fortitude to stand up strong. And in that sense, the sukkah is our greenhouse. It's where we're preparing ourselves to transform the blows and the challenges and the pushes of the coming year into this source of strength and growth. It's also a moment to encourage the fact that one of the primary tools for doing this is learning. You got to learn in your sukkah. It's a beautiful place to find the type of learning which speaks to your heart and to build it into the coming year. Last, but certainly not least, the words of the Chizkuni on our verse. When he says, Yaruf kamatar lichki, right, let my words break or drip, depending on how you read it, right, like rain, says, Dvarim shani omer lechem, enam dvarim telim. Moshe is saying, everything which I say to you, these are not empty words. Ela, cheshem shem amatar yored, rather, just as rain falls and the dew soaks into the ground, you don't necessarily benefit or see its goodness right away. But in the end, the rains that fall now are going to bring beautiful fruits into the world. So too are the messages and the words that I'm trying to give you. Because in the final analysis, the sukkah is the place of knowing that the deep spaces are there within me, that the seeds of care and thought that I've planted during this previous season will certainly bear fruit in the coming year. And this is one of the reasons, perhaps, that the Zohar calls the sukkah Tzila Demehemnuta. It's the shade of faith. I can take shelter, just as the words of the psalm say. I can take shelter in the sukkah, knowing that the work that I have done even if I feel a little bit broken, even if I'm still sensing that hard, dry crust of a lack of faith in myself or God in the world, preventing the life-giving rains from truly soaking in, nevertheless, the work that we have done in the previous season will bear fruit. And I want to bless us all that as we sit in the sukkah together, though we may be in different places, that it be for us a place, a greenhouse, to help us be strong and prepare ourselves to transform the push and blows of the coming year into growth and strength. It should be a beautiful embrace that allows us to have that final cracking to let the life-giving rains soak in. And finally, that we know that the work that we've done will indeed bear fruit in the coming year.
Thank you, Rabbi Sher. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.